Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 is where we're going to read today. And today we're calling this Jesus, Oh, What a Wonderful Child. Oh, What a Wonderful Child. Luke 1 and 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Brother Huff had a message that he preached. It's actually in one of the sets back there that we put together for his birthdays, where he talked about the fact that God always sends a baby when there's a crisis, that God always sends a baby. Babies are wonderful, aren't they? Babies are wonderful. And I have to say that one of the most wonderful memories that I have at Christmas time was 35 years ago this December, when Marcia and I were so young and thought we had so many answers, but we had zero answers. We didn't know what we were doing, but we just knew that the Lord was blessing our little home with a little baby that December the 18th, a long time ago. She's going to be 35 the 18th of this month. Can't believe it. She was perfect then, and she's still perfect. That's from a dad's perspective, and I think most children or most parents, that's the way that we view our kids, don't we? We have high expectations. I would have never have dreamed when I held that little baby. We lived in a little three-room apartment in St. Louis. We were working in a church there, Friendship Assembly of God, as a youth pastor, assistant pastor, whatever that they needed us to do. And when I say a three-room apartment, I don't mean a three-bedroom apartment. I mean three rooms, a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen, and a little small bath and a closet that was actually pretty good size. Big enough that we could actually put the baby in there. And we did a little bit of that. We just put her in the closet and shut the door. No, we didn't do that. It was a third floor apartment. And so when we brought her home after a couple of days, I think it was, we brought her home. We had to bring her three flights of stairs, no elevators. And there's a big story involved in this that I'm not going to tell today. It's too scary of a story. Maybe I should. For some reason, we didn't have the key. I didn't have the key to get into the apartment. I was so excited. I ran up to the apartment and couldn't get in the apartment. And then fear. I thought, what are we going to do? We've got a baby and we can't get in our house. And it's on the third floor. And so I go around back, and you probably can visualize this. It was a steel staircase that went like this. And I climbed up those stairs up to the top to the door, and the back door was locked too. I Couldn't get in. And just over the railing was a window. And so I climbed over the railing, three stories up, and reached out to that window. I saw that it was open enough that I could lift it up, and I jumped over there and climbed in that window. I was much more physically able at that time. I climbed in the window, unlocked the door, and went downstairs and got the baby. That was, man, you're talking about an event. Bringing her home was something that's forever in my memory as a special day. And we brought her into that little apartment, and we put her under the Christmas tree that was already put up. It was probably a pretty pitiful Christmas tree. I don't remember much about it. But we put a big red bow on her belly and put her under the Christmas tree. And that was our Christmas present. I have to tell you, babies are special. And when you have a little baby, even though I was only 22 years old, I had high expectations for that one and for all the children, for that matter. And I think any parent, you have high expectations for your children. You want to see them become something. You want to see them accomplish something with their life. You want to see them pointed in a particular direction. And all through the years of raising your children, you keep that vision in your mind. But when Jesus came as a little baby, there were so many components about his birth that were miraculous. It was not normal. Now, you and I think our babies were miraculous, and we think that they were wonderful and that they can do no wrong. But in actuality, we realize that they can and they do, and they have done wrong. And they're not as perfect as we would like to think that they are. But that's not the case of Jesus. Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Everything about his life was miraculous. Everything about who he was miraculous. Everything about the way he came into this world was a miracle, wasn't it? Even the announcement of his birth, even the announcement that came to Mary by an angelic visitor, the voice of the Lord through this angel speaking to Mary, that she's going to have a child. What a miracle that was. The same message came to Joseph when he was asleep. An angel visited him in his dreams and let him know, don't be afraid to take Mary as your espoused wife. Don't be afraid. It was a miracle. There were miracles taking place even at the announcement of his birth. Amen. The shepherds are out there in the field watching their sheep, and suddenly the sky lights up with the heavenly host, and they begin to give this glorious announcement of this child that's going to be born. It's all miraculous. The wise men are miles and miles and miles away. As a matter of fact, most believe that the wise men traveled maybe months, maybe as much as a year to get to Bethlehem, to where Jesus was. And they just, in their faith, were looking and following the star. And you talk about a miracle that they followed the star as it moved and finally brought them to where the baby was born. So the shepherds had a miraculous announcement. Mary and Joseph had a miraculous announcement. When Mary stepped into the room where Elizabeth was to give her the announcement that she was with child of the Holy Ghost, another miracle took place because she also was carrying a child, John the Baptist. And when John supernaturally recognized the announcement of this birth, the Bible says that that baby leapt in her womb. This was a miracle baby. This was a miraculous announcement of this baby. Amen. And then the scripture says that the angel spoke to Mary and said, you're going to have a child and you're going to call his name Jesus. That again was a miracle, because whenever a name was to be given to a child, especially in the Eastern culture, it usually was a name that was significant and had connections to the family, especially to the father. But now the angel says, no, you're going to call him Jesus. He was named even before he was born, and it was a miraculous name that he was given, because it just simply means Savior, Deliverer, And so even in the naming of Jesus, it was a miracle. This was a wonderful child. This was a miraculous child, Jesus. And the scripture says that Mary was troubled about this. And so she says, how can this be? I've never known a man. How is it possible that a young virgin maiden could have a child? And the voice of the angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. The Spirit of God is going to move upon you, and you are going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Everything about this baby was a miracle. A virgin birth, this child born. And just think about it. This baby was born into a world that was filled with darkness, into a world that was such a place of need and desperately needed a Savior. Just like the world needs a Savior today. Now, he's not a baby anymore, but he's just as miraculous today as he ever was. And everything about his beginning, his birth, the announcement of his birth, his virgin birth, everything about what he did when he came into this world, it was all miraculous. Oh, what a wonderful child Jesus was. Amen. And then the Bible says that he came into this world and he condescended to the frailties of humanity. That's what's so hard for us to even conceive of, that this was God, the Son of God, who was a part of creation and part of putting everything into existence, even the planet and everything about the universe and everything that is alive, all of creation. And Jesus was right there in creative power. But now he condescends to humanity. He becomes a man. Philippians 2 says, being in the form of God, he was God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, what an amazing miracle. This gets to the point that it's beyond our ability to even understand or comprehend what Jesus did. The Son of God who comes into this world, he came to where you were at. Squire Parson wrote that song, he came to me. Here's some of the words. He said, the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demands, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. And that's when he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And he came to you. He condescended to this world, and he took upon the form of a servant. He took upon the form of humanity and the frailties of humanity. And he came to where you were, and he's a personal Savior. He knows right where you are, and he knows exactly your need. And Jesus came into this world that you could understand who he was, and you could know him, and you could comprehend the message of the gospel. Jesus came for that person, for that purpose. My friend, Pastor Randy Snow, has two twin daughters, and they're in their early 20s now. But when they were little toddlers, one day he came in and he saw his little twin girls in the playpen, and they were raising their hands up to him saying, please, Daddy, get me out, get us out, get us out, get us out. And he was ready to get them out. And suddenly, Denise, his wife, comes into the room and said, oh, no, they can't get out. They've been naughty. They have to stay in there, in the playpen. They've been naughty. So Randy said, that was the law of the house. He had to back away. And they were saying, please, Daddy, get us out, get us out, get us out. Well, Denise went on about her business, and it got kind of quiet. And she's wondering, uh-oh, he has went in there and got them out of the playpen. So she goes in there to the living room, and lo and behold, he did not get them out of the playpen. He had gotten into the playpen with them. If you can visualize this, Randy Snow is a big guy. He's a great big guy. He just climbed right into that playpen with those little children. You know that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did. He came to where you were. You couldn't help yourself. You were lost in the predicament of your sin. You could not save yourself. But you cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me." You couldn't deliver yourself, but he came right to where you were. What a wonderful miracle, the virgin birth. What a wonderful miracle, the fact that he took upon himself the humanity and the frame of flesh. Oh, it's an amazing and a wonderful miracle. This is a wonderful, wonderful child, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. The angel said to Mary, "You're going to conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, and he shall be great." Amen. He shall be great. The Greek word is mega, and it just sets, the word is to identify and to set him apart from all others. His bigness, his greatness, which we can't even comprehend. This just means he was not at all ordinary. This is like no other child that was ever born before or ever after. Even though John the Baptist was great and he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and he was named before birth, and his purpose in life was all identified even before John was born. He was a great, great man. As a matter of fact, Jesus said of John the Baptist, "Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." And when Jesus says that about you, when Jesus says you're great, you're great. Amen. And so John was identified as great, but Jesus is greater even than John the Baptist. He's greater in him because John was still in the form of flesh. He still had his sinful nature. He could still do wrong. He could still fall into sin and still do things because of his human weakness and his frailty, but not the Lord Jesus. Not the Lord Jesus. He's great. He's set apart from any other. There's no one like Jesus. There's no baby like Jesus. There's no Savior like Jesus who has come into this world that men might be saved. There's no way to compare anyone or any Savior or any circumstance to who he was. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great and thy name is great in might." You don't have to, go very far. If you do a little word study, if you've got a program where you can search your Bible, you can see this term identified with the Lord again and again and again and again and again. The greatness. He is great. He is mighty. He is set apart from all others. There is no one like Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful and amazing child that he was. Amen. Amen. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." That's a great term there. Son of the Highest. Now, you'll see that all through the Christmas story, that term is used again and again. It's used two or three times in Luke 1. It's used again in Luke 2. It's used in other places in the New Testament. It's used all throughout the Scripture. It's used in the Old Testament to identify many, many things about God. And what it describes is that he is the supreme power. He is almighty. He is the sovereign one. There is none to compare to him. Let me give you a few verses that identify our God, who is the highest, the highest. Melchizedek talked about him in Genesis 14 and 8. It says that he was Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Psalm 47 and verse 2, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Daniel's prophecy, four different times, he describes the Most High, who rules over the earth and is able to give kingdoms to men as however he chooses to do so. So he rules over the nations.
He puts those in leadership and those in authority. In case you're complaining about recent elections, you need to be reminded of the fact that He is the highest. He is the sovereign one. And it is He that puts nations and orders nations and places leaders in their positions. Amen. Amen. 2 Samuel 22. There's too many verses really for me to go through all of these, but I want to give you a few, just a little idea. He is the highest over the nations. 2 Samuel 22:14. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice, and He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them, and the channels of the sea appeared. What's this talking about? It's talking about the nature that the highest, He is the highest one. He's not only in control of the affairs of mankind all over the world, but He's in control of everything that happens, even in nature, even in hurricanes that come into New Jersey and New York City. God is in control of it all. He is the highest one. Amen. Other verses in Psalm describe Him as well as the highest. You'll find this term again and again and again and again. El Elyon is the Hebrew word. That He is the high one. He is the highest. There is none above Him. Hallelujah. And what did the angel say? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. That means that He will have the same position and power and authority and sovereignty over everything with the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, which means the exact reproduction of the Father, just like Him. He's just like Him. And that's what the angel said about this little baby that was going to be born. He is going to be great, and He's going to be the Son of the Highest. He is going to be equal. He is going to be with full power and sovereignty and greatness of God, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's this wonderful child, Jesus. Amen. Don't ever think that things are spinning out of control. It does seem like that during the holidays, that sometimes it can get dark, and when trouble can get as, it can get just as bad as it's ever been. Sometimes when you're going through the holiday season, and I've witnessed this over the years, people go through tragedy and trouble and all kinds of circumstances in their life, and it seems to be such a contrast to all the joy and all that's going on in the world. But just be reminded here this morning that our God is great. He is the Son of the Highest, which means He is the sovereign one, and He's not caught off guard by anything that's going on. As a matter of fact, He is in control. He is the sovereign one who is ruling the affairs of mankind, and He's able to help you in your trouble and your problem today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, what a wonderful child Jesus is. What a wonderful child Jesus is. I hope this month of December, that you will, like no other time ever before in your life, that you will be worshiping. You will be drawing near to the Lord. I don't know. I just can't imagine that another year is going to go by and we'll have another Christmas season in 2013. I think that we really need to focus our attention upon what's happening this month of December. Let's get closer to God and let's understand and be reminded of the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. And all that He is. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His Father. You see, His kingdom, once you become a part of the kingdom of God, and you do that by being born again, born of the Spirit of God, that's how you gain access to be a part of this wonderful kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. The history of the world is a reminder to us that nations rise and they fall. Cultures rise and they fall. And now they're just all a part of history. You read about powerful nations. And today, so many of them have crumbled and are gone. But we are a part of the kingdom of God, this eternal kingdom. And the scripture says that this is a kingdom that's never going to end. It's never going to fall. And he's always going to be the ruler. He's always going to be the supreme one. He's always going to be great and the son of the highest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Glory to God. Another thing about this announcement. When Mary says, how shall this be? Verse 34. Saying, I know not a man. The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the highest. There's the term again. As I said, you'll find this term describing God many, many times in the Christmas story. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Another miracle about this child Jesus is that he was pure, he was perfect. And the angel said, this holy thing, this holy child born into this world, as a parent, I thought my kids were pretty great, but I had a really quick reminder because one of the first words that they would learn is, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Realize that they had to be disciplined and you had to begin to direct their life and try to help them to understand what is right and what is wrong and help them to discern through their life until they would mature to the place that they were able to make their own decisions in their life about their future. That wasn't the way it was with Jesus, this holy child. He was perfect. Can you imagine that? The only baby that's ever been born in the history of the world that was perfect. Amen. Born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And she brought this little child into the world, and he was perfect. Amen. That means in the home, he never created any problems. He never produced any situation that brought unhappiness, sorrow, or trouble. Never disobedient, never a word ill-spoken. His thoughts were pure, never had a bad attitude, even in his teen years. He was perfect. He was perfect. He was this holy child, never selfish, never unkind. This is hard to comprehend, but this little child Jesus grew up and he was perfection. He was perfect in his life, in his existence, and his kingdom never, ever will end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, as long as we're in our flesh, we will fail. We do make mistakes. We do fall prey to temptation. But let me tell you, of his kingdom, in his kingdom, it's a pure kingdom. It's a holy kingdom. And he has invited you and I to be a part of it. And he can lead us as well into purity and into holiness and into a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I don't mean that we're always going to be perfect, but by his grace in our life, we are able to strive to be more like Jesus, like this holy child, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. And from this glorious story, which really is just the introduction to the Christmas story, lives are changed. People are changed. The whole course and the direction of people's lives are changed. Brother Bright mentioned in the Sunday school class, if he hadn't got saved when he was a young man, and most of you could testify to the same thing, what if I never heard the gospel? What if I never knew about this Jesus? What if I never had the opportunity to be introduced to the greatness of this Savior? What would have happened to us? What would be the direction of our life? Well, let me tell you, the Bible says he upholds everything in this world. Everything consists by him. And he holds everything up by the word of his power. And that means if you take God out of the picture, everything just crumbles. Everything is a big mess. There's no sense. There's no purpose. There's no reality when you take Jesus out of the picture. That's why that people in their sin are in such trouble. And there's such darkness in their life. And they are following a direction and sin that's leading them further and further away from God. And such destruction that's coming to them because of their self-will. What they need is Jesus. They need Jesus. And I'm so thankful. For me, I was just a boy. But really, when I got saved and began to really serve the Lord, I was about 14 years old. And I could not have imagined the significance of that little time in the altar. I could have never realized the whole course and the direction of your life. And every one of us here today, we have a whole new existence. We have a whole new understanding. We have a life that we would have never have had if it had not been for the grace of God. If it had not have been for this child, Jesus, coming into the world. Oh, he is great. He is the Son of the Highest, of the Highest. His kingdom is never going to end. This is a holy child who changes lives and gives hope to everyone who turns their life over to Jesus Christ. I just pray that you will. We had some friends in St. Louis, Catholics. And they just had a formal religion. But they came to a Christmas program. They were invited, came to a Christmas program, and that was the first time they were confronted with the gospel. Even though that they had been in Catholicism, there was a lot of religion, but not a whole lot of reality there. And so they got confronted with the gospel. A few weeks later, they got truly born again. The whole direction of their life changed. Everything about their life changed. Amen. And I was just a young guy. This is the same time, about the time that Erica was born. I was the adult, young adult, actually, Sunday school teacher. This couple started coming into that class. And it's wonderful to teach when you look out and you see people. It's like they're like little birds with their mouth open. They're just wanting more and more and more and more. They would invite us into their home and all they wanted to talk to us about was the Bible and about spiritual things. And they were so hungry to know more about the Lord. And I witnessed a life direction changed by the Holy Child Jesus. Hallelujah. And that family and that couple. I've witnessed it over and over through the years. When people turn their life over to Jesus Christ, their life has changed. Their direction in their life has changed. The lives of their children are changed. Because they met this child, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful child. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful victory that comes because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths, Lord, in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world that we might know you in a greater way. That we might understand what it is to be saved. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the miracles surrounding your birth. We thank you, Lord, for how that you continue today to change people's lives miraculously. Lord, we're not asking, Lord, for just a religious experience. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would supernaturally change hearts and do a work today in this place, Lord, that would redirect the lives and the futures of individuals in this service, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen.